937.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I'm Al Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. Jeff and I are originating this entire program from the Cambridge House Investment Conference in Indian Wells, California. Interesting stuff going on down here, and that interesting stuff is there's no consistent opinion as to where the hard asset market is going right now. I find that to be intriguing. We're going to chit-chat about this a little bit with Albert Matter. Albert is the president of New Legacy Gold. He has also been involved in the hard asset sector for easily as long as I have. He's a good friend. In terms of full disclosure, I do have to say that we own shares, Kathy and I own shares in New Legacy in our defined benefit pension plan, and don't view any of these comments coming from me as a shareholder as being a solicitation to buy or a solicitation to sell the stock. I just love all these disclosures you have to put, Jeff. You know, it's just absolutely wonderful. Albert, nobody seems to have a surefire opinion as to the direction of the market. What does Albert Matter say?
Well, I think to use the current vernacular, we're at an inflection point, which we used to call a bottom, in the precious metals, hard assets, and we're approaching some kind of a top in the financial assets again. The last time we saw this was in 2007, 2008. You've got the Dow up now from 7,000 to 14,000, and all of a sudden everybody's chasing it. Meanwhile, they're throwing their gold stocks to the curb. And I suggest that, unfortunately, it takes this kind of market action for the rest of us to have tops and bottoms.
Albert, when you talk about some of the mining companies and some of the exploring companies, talk just a little bit generally about how you separate the wheat from the chaff and how you differentiate between, a company that's more of a promoter than an actual explorer.
Well, in one of the conversations here, a gentleman suggested there was 10,000 properties being explored worldwide. I'd suggest you should call it 10,000 properties being promoted worldwide. The fact of the matter is, a lot of these companies do not have a business plan. It takes you 5 to 7 years to build a company, And if you're going to start in a down cycle, as we did, for instance, with New Legacy in 2008-09, during the crash we picked up those properties, you're probably going to have to live through at least one more down cycle because you've had an up cycle in between. Now we're in a down cycle. And it takes you that long to position your company. By the time you come up with the idea that you should be in this area, be it gold or otherwise, by the time you decide where you should be, politically and otherwise, in fact, I would recommend you go to Brent Cook's website to get a list of all these criteria, and then by the time you get the property, accumulate all the data, do some reconnaissance drilling, you're probably having success just as you're hitting the next down cycle. But that shouldn't deter you. Now, another thing that people talk about is that the financing system for juniors is broken. Well, as J.P. Morgan used to say, 6% commission sucks money from the moon. And that's what you saw just 2 or 3 years ago when 2,000 companies got I don't know how many billion dollars into their coffers when probably only 200 of them had properties that were decent, worthwhile, chasing, and had something that was going to be substantial at the end of it in a geopolitical environment that you want to spend that kind of money on.
Well, Albert, when you talk about these long time horizons, when you talk about everything that goes into investing in mining stocks in terms of doing your homework and doing your diligence, it sounds like, to me, you're describing a sector that kind of isn't for the average investor. In other words, you got to do a lot more work and you have to have a lot longer time horizon than you might if you're, the average Joe looking to buy Google.
Well, the average Joe didn't get a chance to buy Google when it was worth buying it when it was private. Yes, you do have to have a long horizon, and you have to do some work. You have to do a lot more work than buying a lottery ticket and sitting back and waiting for it to not win for you. You have to monitor your company. You have to you have to find a management that has a business sense as well as a geological sense. A lot of times you get a geologist who wants to find an ore body. He doesn't care if it's an economic ore body. He wants to find an ore body. Whereas a businessman will say, let's find an ore body somewhere near Tidewater, not on some hillside that is inaccessible. So I think, the average investor you're talking about probably shouldn't even be in the market if he doesn't want to do some homework. He has to do homework to discover Google. And with hindsight only, do you know that Google's a decent company.
You know, Albert, I have to tell you, I agree completely in that I think anybody who is a serious investor, and particularly a serious investor in the resource sector, you've really, really got to study the game, so to speak. You know, you have to read everything you possibly can get your hands on, all the sources you can possibly get. You have to do that, number one. And number two, you got to be really nimble, because this is a sector that is very volatile.
And you've got to come to these kind of conferences, but not when everybody's coming. Come when nobody's coming. Okay? And then look around and build relationships, okay, that'll help you. Build relationships with yourself, other people. That'll help you direct you to the real deals.
Albert, when you said when you were starting New Legacy, it was a down market. It was a 2007-2008 period. Did that give you a level of discipline sort of going in when you created your company that sometimes
Absolutely.
Is lacking when you have a company like, for instance, during the tech bubble, companies were getting stupid money thrown at them, and so they malinvested it and did dumb things. Does that mean that mining stock companies, your own included at this point, have to have discipline that's thrust upon you by the market itself?
Absolutely. Well, you know, basically I've always been called an opportunist, and most of the deals I've done have been exactly in periods like 2008 and 2009, actually, not 2007, when there's a crash and everybody's running for the hills. Okay? I mean, as I said earlier, I was parked in my wine cellar drinking out my finest wines because people told me it was the end of the world, and I didn't want to leave those fine wines around if it was the end of the world, when my partner called me and said, Albert, there's a couple of properties. It was March 13th. Right at the bottom, the Obama bottom, as I call it, because it should have been the bottom in December, but Obama helped make it a double bottom. And he says, I've got some properties down here I never would have thought would come free. Well, here he is. He's one of the most reputable geologists, discovered the Cortez mine, several others. Everybody in Nevada knows him, calling me at that time. Well, of course I had to pay attention, because nobody else was paying attention. That's the time to pay attention. And yes, it was tough raising money back then. You know, we raised money, our first money. Everything on the Vancouver or the Toronto Stock Exchange, Venture Exchange, was trading for 3 and 4 cents. And I was asking people to pay 5 cents for a private company, and they were grumbling. I said, well, if you don't buy it, I'll take you off my Christmas card list. So then we raised the 12.5 cents when the market was still in the ash can. And now we've gone full circle. We raised money as high as 30 and 40, and now we're back to 15 because we're into the second down cycle within this 5-7 year period that it takes. We're just at the point where we've made a discovery and starting to count our ounces, okay? And you can still buy us for 10 or 12 cents, which you could have done 3 years ago.
Well, you know, going along those lines, I think it's very, very important to stress here that this is a very cyclical industry that we're invested in, but I'll tell you, without the down times, you're not going to have the good times. Perfect example, 2008, 2009, terrible years in the market. What did Kathy and I do? We bought the daylights out of stocks. Let me tell you, reaped the reward in 2010.
Right, but it takes a lot of courage and experience to be able to do that while everybody else is running for the hills. But that's what Brent Cook has titled his speech now. Right? If you want to sell them high, you've got to buy them low.
Al and I generally, we like to look at management, and we like to look at, obviously, cash reserves and working capital. That's sort of our foundational starting point for any company. You know, as somebody who's in the business, what would you tell a new investor to gold or silver mining companies to look for?
I look at management, and property. Good properties, good management will always attract the money. The only question is the price, okay? You can't fight the market. We can't raise money. I mean, somebody was telling me the other day, how can you expect to raise money at 15 cents when you're trading at 10 cents, Albert? Well, I said, anybody can raise it at 15 cents when you're trading at 20. It's the real challenge is trading it when you're trading at 10. Well, I was being half facetious. But the fact is, a good property and good management will always attract money.
You know, it always does. Albert, always a pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
On air, online, and on demand. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
$4, $5, $6, even $7 a gallon? According to fuel industry insiders and economic experts, those are the forecasted fuel prices, with no end in sight. Fight back fuel prices with a fuel saver from airfusionsystems.com. These fuel savers can save you from 20 to 40%. They're designed to fit any vehicle from compacts to SUVs to transport trucks. The fuel saver works on all gas, diesel, even propane engines. Easy do-it-yourself installation in about 15 minutes. And the best part? No engine modifications, no computer chipping, no running wires, no chemicals, no water, no running costs, and no maintenance. And these fuel savers come complete with all parts and accessories. See how it works at airfusionsystems.com, spelled A-I-R-F-U-S-I-O-N, systems.com. Or call 888-887-9981. 888-887-9981. Fuel savers from airfusionsystems.com. Save fuel, save money, save Earth.
March into big spring preparedness savings this month at BePrepared.com. Going on now. Emergency essentials and BePrepared.com save you 28% off your favorite beef and chicken combo entrees. Save 24% on number 10 cans of freeze-dried raspberries. Or save 26% on our freeze-dried strawberry slices with purchase of 12 or more. Katadyn Pocket Micro Water Filters are 27% off. Try our fruit-flavored HydroPack Combo Water Filtering Pouches. In March, buy 5 10-packs for a 50% discount. Stock up on wheat with a year's supply of grains for $70 off, only at BePrepared.com. And this month, power up with a Goal Zero Sherpa 50 solar-powered recharging kit at $110 off MSRP, and we'll throw in a free $50 emergency essentials gift card. The March sale ends March 31st at BePrepared.com. For contents and details, call Emergency Essentials at 800-999-1863 or click BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I'm Al Corlin. Corey Fleck is joining me for this segment, along with Chris Berry. You know, Chris, Corey and I chatted with Maren Katusa, who I'm sure you know, the kind of the uranium guy, the energy guy for Casey Research about 2 months ago, and we did a great interview. Maren is very, very keen on uranium, as I am, quite frankly, as is Marshall Barrel from the Encompass Fund. You guys are getting more and more involved in uranium. I guess the question I would ask is, number one, why? And is this a sector that you'd recommend to listeners?
Sure. Well, firstly, Al, thanks for having me on the show again. It's great to be back. And like Marin and Marshall and yourself, I too am very keen on the uranium sector. I see over the next, say, 12 to 24 months, a supply-demand imbalance arising in the favor of increased demand. You know, a lot of people out there have heard of the megatons to megawatts agreement between the U.S. and the Russians. Essentially, for those of you that don't know, that is nuclear warheads in Russia that are downblended, if you will, and net uranium is then used to power nuclear reactors in the United States. That is slated to end in the end of this year, 2013. And, you know, we're just not sure at this point in time if it will be renegotiated or renewed or what have you. So that's about 24 million pounds, roughly, of uranium that could be off the market this time next year. So that's one thing to think about. You know, obviously, Japan is kind of a hot-button issue at this point in time with respect to uranium. They have 52 reactors, by my count, two of which are actually working right now, and 50 which are being inspected by the Japanese authorities. Not really sure how many of those will come back and when that will happen, but it looks like, based on how the political winds are blowing in Japan, some or all of them will come back in the next 12 to 24 months. That implies an additional, let's just say, 12 to 15 additional million pounds of uranium coming on stream. So, you know, megatons to megawatts is ending. Japan may be coming back at some point in time. And the third and perhaps most powerful force that I see is the fact that a lot of the major producers of uranium, for example, Paladin, BHP, Areva, Cameco, have all either mothballed or just plain shelved expansion projects, until a higher uranium price, spot price, comes back into play. And, of course, uranium today sits at about $43 a pound, and a lot of the majors that I've been speaking with need closer to $70 to $75 a pound uranium to get back in the market. So, you know, the majors are out of the game. Megatons to megawatts might potentially be ending or be changed, and you've got Japan, and you've also got the nuclear build-out in the emerging world as well, which is another major factor.
Well, and one thing that really gets me about the uranium industry is that with the continuous really international economic instability out there, is that countries can't continue to fund this green energy or really develop this green energy when they need to get their balance sheets, well, more balanced, really. And it's been proven that nuclear energy is, it's there, it works, it is safe. There are the odd black swan event where something disastrous happens. However, it's been around for a long time, and we need energy, quite frankly, all around the world. And as you said, the emerging markets continue to play a bigger and bigger role. The U.S. needs more and more power. So is there any area in particular that you see the demand really increasing, albeit in Europe or in Japan alone, or do you see that more as a worldwide event?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of the demand, the bulk of the demand for nuclear energy will come from what I call the emerging world, and obviously everyone kind of defaults to countries like China and India for that. By my count, you know, you've got about 436 reactors that are in operation globally today. That, you know, is a rough number. You've got about 63 reactors that are under construction and about another 150 that are planned. So I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you right now. Now, of the 63, 17 of them are in China. And of the 150 that are planned, you know, I don't have the actual number that are planned or proposed, but the bulk of them are coming from the emerging world. And the reason why, I mean, there are a number of reasons, but if, you know, if you go to Google and you just type in Beijing smog, and you see some of these pictures from the environmental damage that's happening there now, you understand why countries like China are looking for cleaner and greener sources of baseload electricity, and that's why nuclear is, I think, back in favor.
Well, and touching on the new reactors coming online, is that I read something where it takes three times the amount of uranium to get these reactors started as reactors that are currently producing. So that's a major demand increase with the supply that you're saying just isn't there.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, by my estimates from folks in the nuclear industry that I've spoken with, your typical current day 1,000 megawatt reactor requires 500,000 pounds of uranium at startup. Okay, so if you go back to that 63 number, 63 under construction, and we're playing with numbers here, but let's just assume that 30 of them are this 1,000 megawatt reactor type that I'm talking about. That implies an additional 15 million pounds of uranium that would need to come on stream in the next, you know, 12 to 24 to 36 months when a number of these reactors actually start up. And you know, the other thing to keep in mind is the fact that the 436 reactors that I mentioned before, you know, sure, some of them will be decommissioned and so on and so forth, but about every 18 months, you know, these reactors need to be refueled. So you've got a 170 million pound market for uranium right now globally, and you can just see how the growth is going to continue. You can see where it's going to come from.
Chris, given the fact that you've built a pretty good case for a strengthening demand for uranium, obviously that would imply a rising price for uranium. Obviously that would imply more interest in uranium junior companies, whether they're exploration or development stage. Any thoughts on companies that you particularly like?
Yeah, you know, there are several, and we can talk about one that's sort of at the top of my list right now. It's a company called European Uranium Resources, and just in the way of full disclosure, I own shares in the company, and I'm an advisor to them, and I'm very happy to own shares. This is a company that has a primary asset in Slovakia, of all places, and Slovakia is not sort of... It doesn't really jump to the forefront of your mind when you think about nuclear energy, but this is a country that generates 50% of its electricity from nuclear energy. And, you know, the asset that the company has in Slovakia is one of the highest grade uranium assets outside of the Athabasca Basin at about 0.5%. They have an indicated and inferred resource of about 41 million pounds totally. In total, I should say. The Slovakian government has signed an MOU with this company to jointly work to develop the asset, number one. And number two, Areva, of course, one of the giants in the space, owns about 8 or 9% of the company and has one of their engineers on the company's board. So you can sort of see how a company like this, and by the way, this, as you take a look at the stock, it's had a great run since last year. People are looking for those high-grade assets in safe geopolitical jurisdictions.
And if you want to find out more information on this company or on Discovery Investing, simply click on their banner, which has been on our website for probably 2 or 3 years right now. Chris, always a pleasure, bud. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Utopia Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising cost of health care can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit UtopiaSilver.com, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment,
survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. We're going to have a little fun with this interview. Kevin Hudak, who has been on the program before, is a broker who specializes in resource companies, works out of New Mexico. He's a full-service broker, but he does a lot of work in the resource company sector. And one of my favorite people in this industry is a woman by the name of Linda Thorstad. Linda is involved as the president of a company called Orsa Ventures that is, full disclosure, a sponsor on our website. And I have also gone on record as saying that we are going to purchase some Orsa Ventures stock out of the market for our defined benefit pension plan. So there you have it. Not going to be a surprise when it shortly happens. I asked Kevin to chat with Linda a little bit about the company to see, you know, what if any interest he would have in this particular company, and Kevin did that earlier today. And then I said, hey, I got a great idea. Why don't you grill Ms. Thorstad? What do you look at in companies before you perhaps recommend them to your clients? You got the floor, baby.
Well, that can be trouble at times, but thank you. Linda, basically to start with, can you give us some background on where your company is at, its properties, cash flows, drill programs, those kind of things to start?
Certainly, Kevin. Orsa Ventures is a junior development company active in the Western United States. We like the Western United States because we think it's a safe geopolitical environment. Certainly, there are high safety for all of our team who are working there, and we like the kinds of projects and people that we work with down in the States. Orsa has a very strong management team, a team of company builders, mine developers and mine builders, as well as a very experienced team in terms of finance and overall company management. And we've been very fortunate to secure a very large gold resource in southern Oregon called the Quartz Mountain property. It has a resource of 2.85 million ounces on the property, lots of exploration for upside, lots of opportunity for exploration upside, and near-term production potential, because a good portion of that gold resource is in oxide mineralization and responds very well to cyanidation. One more project that we have that we are pretty excited about is a new gold discovery in Nevada and a very prolific mining trend called the Oriana Mining Trend, where a number of large companies and large projects are under development. And finally, we have a copper-gold target in southern Nevada that's in what we call elephant country with amongst some very, very large copper projects. So really, that's the company in a nutshell.
Is the company designed to go from exploration to production, or is this going to be a company where we go from exploration to being bid out to be sold into a major?
That remains to be seen, Kevin. We have the team to build a mine. Mike Attaway's built 6 major mines in the Western United States and operated many others. Bruno Bard, who's our COO, has taken several projects to feasibility study. So we have the technical expertise and an affiliation with an engineering firm to make that happen. However, should an offer come forward for the company, we'd have to obviously, as management, look at what would be in the best interest of the shareholders and consider and make recommendations at that time.
How about cash flows and money in the bank to keep you through the exploration phase? Do you have the capitalization to continue through this dry period in the junior mining sector?
Good question. We did raise $1.75 million last April, and we have spent just over half of that in exploration and investment. I don't want to use the word spent, invested it in our projects. We do have the ability to scale back and certainly survive with very low general and administrative costs to survive this next period of time. However, we're getting quite a bit of interest in potential fundraising, and we are looking now to raise some money in the spring to fund the next phase of exploration and development.
You know, Kevin, I think one thing that's really important to touch on here is it's in our industry, as you know, boy, and as I know, and I've learned this lesson so many times, it's all about the people. Capital is obviously important, but something I think you have to realize is, does a company have the ability to raise capital? And this lady's been involved in this industry for quite some time, and she does have the ability to raise capital. Having said that, Linda, if you could do me a favor, because I invest in one thing. I'm not a technical guy. You've known me for 25, 26 years. I don't know anything about geology. I know how to spell the word, but that's about it. But I bet on people. Let's talk a little bit about your background.
Certainly, Al. Thank you. I began my work in the mining industry in 1979 when I was recruited by a company called Ventures West Capital. They were building the Wesley Mine and wanted an exploration person to help with that process. So early on, I was involved in seeing a mine being built. So I've been involved in a number of very advanced stage projects. The three of us who are on this management team were all part of the Viceroy Senior Management Team. We successfully operated the Castle Mountain Mine near Barstow, California, which won awards for health, safety, environment, community relations, and above all was a top-tier cash flow producer.
Kevin, I'm just curious. When Al talks about you being a full-service broker, do you have clients who come to you who are actually interested in the mining sector and want to know about the smaller companies and developmental companies? Or is this something where you have some expertise and knowledge about resource and mining stocks, and so you're suggesting that potentially your clients is a way to diversify?
It's a combination of factors. I've been chasing the gold and silver market since I was 17 years old. In the physical side of it, and then in the stock portion, the gold shows were started in 1988, and my brothers and I have been going to them since. So 25 years of these shows, actually trying to listen to some of the people and getting a feel for what's going on. The amazing part to me now is the geology hasn't changed, but the way they're approaching it now has changed. Before, everybody was looking at outcrops, and that's how they were finding the indicators to we're going to drill here or we're going to drill there. Now they're talking about 200 feet or 1,000 feet of overcap on deposits that are not visible to the naked eye or to some of the pictures and geophysics that they do now. And so at first, you start to learn what the geologists are talking about, and now they've changed to a different part of the geology. And so it's a completely new learning curve for me. but it's something I'm very interested in. And so it's a combination of my clients are looking at what newsletter writers are saying, what they're reading in the newspapers, what they're reading in the journals, and they have questions on that. When we're dealing with companies that are non-penny stocks, we talk about it when they're below the $5 threshold. Most of my clients are dealing with someone else making that recommendation and then telling me I want to be in that particular stock.
Well, Linda, we just have a little over a minute left, but I'm just curious, from your perspective, when you're raising investment capital, are you raising it sort of through your own internal efforts, or are there the Kevins of the world out there, sort of steering investors your way, or is it still such an unknown sector to the average investor?
You know, it's a good question, and it really is a combined effort. I am the leader, so I take the lead. But, along the way, we do find strategic partners or supporters who say, we want to be part of this, and I can probably bring one or two more people to the table. So that's how it works. And I think maybe I'd like to close with one comment here, because I was meeting with an investor the other day, and he said, I like the fact that you are financing for growth, not for survival.
And I think that's the key to this particular situation. Orsa Ventures right now is financing for growth and not for survival. As John Kaiser very aptly brought out, what was it, Linda, I guess 4, 5, 6 months ago, he feels that as many as 5 to 575 of the companies that are financing right now for survival are going to be off the board sooner rather than later. And I think that's very true. One of the reasons that I am comfortable with Orsa Ventures is the fact that you're like I am. We're I don't want to say old pros, because that perhaps may put a different slant on it. But we've got some years in the industry, and we know what has to be done. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. Big Al's going to be right back, along with Jeff and Brett Cook and Simon Ridgway. Be right back.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
To have a fighting chance against cold and flu bugs, get the world's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. Fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi with Allicin Plus C. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allicin Plus C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allicin Plus C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allicin Plus C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allicin Plus C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. To order, call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. Or go to AllicinPlus.com, spelled AllicinPlus.com. Get Allicin Plus C from Affinity Health Products.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. Do you know the number one most valuable item in a crisis? Some people think the answer is gold. Others think it's a gun. But the correct answer will shock you. I just created a free video at crisis123.com that reveals a surprising item that is more valuable than gold in a crisis. 97% of Americans don't have this one critical item. In fact, they haven't even given it a thought. And the sad truth is that you may not survive without it when a real crisis hits and a starving mob is right outside your door. What I have to tell you could literally make the difference between life and death for you and your family. Watch my video at crisis123.com to discover the number one most valuable item in a crisis. You'll be shocked. See the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go watch my video now at crisis123.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's crisis123.com.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free. A 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply. Be in control. Be self-sufficient and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
Okay, here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the greatest radio show on earth, the Corlin Economics Report. Just had to make a point to my friend Simon Ridgway here, who Jeff and I are going to be chatting with Simon along with Brent Cook. Simon has been involved in this industry. I've known you for, what's it been, probably 25 years. Still doing, interest of full disclosure, I believe we're still doing regulatory work for a couple of your companies through one of our people, Steve Taylor. Full disclosure, so I guess I'm somewhat biased here when I talk about your companies. Brent and I have known each other for quite some time. Brent is no stranger to this program. Brent has a great newsletter, Exploration Insights, and is really virtually a regular guest on the program. What we want to talk about here to wrap up the first hour of the show, guys, is, you know, there is a lot of uncertainty down here as to the direction of the hard asset market, the resource sector, for lack of better terms. A lot of confusion. People are just kind of wondering, you know, what's going on here? Are we in for a dramatically long downturn? Is this something that's going to correct fairly soon? I got to tell you, Big Al's pretty confused. Simon?
I'm with you. I'm pretty confused.
What has 30 years in the industry taught you, man?
Well, I don't think I've seen a market before where you have great metal prices still and a bad equity market. I mean, usually, especially in the junior sector, you see at times like this when many of the juniors get wiped out, it usually relates to a bad gold price, bad silver price. They can't raise your equity to go look for it. Now we have great metal prices, and yet the market is completely in the doldrums. Have you seen a time like this before, Brent?
Not with the metal prices this high, but I think what the bad news is that although the metal prices are high, the margins that companies are making on those metal prices really haven't come up much since off the bear market. So although metal prices are up, your basic costs of production are up. And right now the total all-in cost to produce an ounce of gold on average is about $1,500 an ounce. So our margins haven't gone up, and that's probably what's making this, at least to some degree, a bit different.
Right. But how does that make any sense when we had gold trading at $300 or $400, what, 7 years ago, 6 years ago, and companies were still producing gold at break even or even making a little money at that price? And I think what you just said relates mostly to the majors. If you look at the mid-sized producers, Fortuna Silver, First Majestic, look at Endeavor Silver, they're producing silver at maybe $5 or $6 an ounce cash cost. Silver's trading at, what today, $28, $29. That's a huge margin. So the smaller producers are still there, are generating good cash flow. in today's market. I don't know about gold producers. I haven't looked at many.
No, that's a good point. I was speaking of the overall cost, but there are some companies, mid-tier in particular, that are making good money at this, and they're being taken down with the rest. I think what we're seeing as well is institutional investors who are all in are now getting hit with redemptions, and that's what's taking a lot of these companies down, the mid-tiers down, and the development stories is they've got to sell. And, you know, for me, I think we're looking at a unique period of time over this, probably this year, and maybe into the next, where we'll be able to buy quality deposits, quality companies making good money at a serious discount to what they're worth. And this is actually a pretty good time. We're going to lose a lot of the small juniors who really don't have anything or don't have the cash, but we're coming out of this much stronger industry.
Brent and Simon, a quick follow-up question. You know, Al and I talk a lot about what's going on with the dollar over the past, let's say, 10, 20 years, the Greenspan-Bernanke era. So one thing we know for sure is that the money supply, I consider M3 the best indicator, has expanded rapidly since 2008 with continual quantitative easing. We've had the supply, real and electronic, of U.S. dollars just expand exponentially. We know that the money supply is growing much faster than the amount of gold that's being pulled out of the ground. And so, you know, we know that fundamentally, long-term, when you're talking about gold relative to the dollar, that there's nothing fundamentally wrong with gold. But can you talk a little bit about the disconnect between gold, the price of physical gold, and the actual gold mining stock companies? Obviously, you have questions about management, et cetera, but it seems at some point to have more gold come out of the ground, you need mining companies. And so if the price of gold goes up, it has to be at least some tenuous correlation to the overall performance of gold mining stocks. But yet, it seems like we often don't see it.
I'm an explorationist, not an economist. So it's hard for me to talk on that bigger picture thing. But I took a look at New Money yesterday. I mean, they produced $2 billion in profit last year. They got a market cap right now of just 20. So 10-to-1 ratio. That makes that company cheap in anybody's books. So is a new month to buy right now? You've got to look at that and say, yes, I don't. How's that going to go down from there? Or is somebody going to buy New Month?
Well, we all know that one of the biggest supporters of Newmont for many decades now has been Congressman Ron Paul. And the reason I'm allowed to say that is, unfortunately, when you're a congressman, you have to fill out a financial disclosure statement that tells the whole world what you own. But that's a whole different story about Newmont.
Well, I know that Ron, you know, having known him not nearly as long, obviously, as his former chief of staff has known him. But, you know, you were kind enough to introduce me to Ron back, I guess it was 5 or 6 or 7 years ago. And what I find interesting about the guy, aside from his absolutely brilliant views on politics and economics, but he buys mining stocks. He buys gold mining stocks. And if I were to guess, I'd say he probably still does. So, I mean, there's a forward-thinking guy. There's absolutely no question about that, to say the least. Brent, I had an interesting question. Well, I guess I'd direct this at both you guys and even at Jeff. But, you know, I think the problem right now in the junior resource sector, if we're talking just about the securities, I think it's the fact that people are very, very confused. And I think the people who, you know, if you take it one step up the food chain, you got a lot of very bright people who realize that we could really have a major calamity right around the corner because of what's going on economically in the Western world. And I think that's slowing up the market a little bit. You guys have an opinion on that?
Certainly risk capital in this sector has gone away. And again, I got a point. I we have not performed to what people expected. And that's just the odds of this game. Even if you're good, know what you're doing, I think your odds of making discovery are maybe 1 in 100, maybe 1 in 50 if you're really selective. And those are just still tough to beat. And what's happened a lot is what looks like a discovery in a junior company gets people excited, ramps up the share price, but eventually that fatal flaw, whatever that is recognized and the thing collapses and people just are getting, you know, kind of feel like they're getting burned.
Bottom line, without picking up any names, how many projects have you seen in this hall or the one in San Francisco where you get presented a project that they're going to spend another $2 or $3 million on, but the project's already dead? It really never had a chance to begin with. And I don't know how much was raised and spent over the last 10 years of bull market we've been into, but a significant amount of it was spent on projects that should have died after the first few drill holes, and they didn't let go. So that increases those odds significantly that you just mentioned, correct?
Not precisely. Those odds are just the overall odds. looking at, there's about 10,000 prospects being explored today. But you and I have spent a lot of time the past few years running around the country, the world, looking for projects. And by and large, my experience has been that most of these junior companies are looking for something, exploring a property that, even if they're successful, it's really irrelevant to what it's not really, one, it's probably not there, and you can see that from the surface, or two, if they're successful, it's not a big enough discovery to justify the risk.
But given what you gentlemen are saying here, does that mean that the hypothetical mining stock investor is fundamentally a different person than someone who's investing in the Dow and NASDAQ? Do they need to be given the time horizons, the risk profile?
Yeah, I think there's a significant difference in the risk reward. It's a high risk business, definitely, and you're looking for those big rewards. So you need to be, obviously, whenever you're doing that, you've got to pick management teams. You've got to be key, because you've got to know that your money's going to be well spent to offset that risk. I mean, you can go into a casino and play roulette, but if it's a bad enough odds, but if the casino's cheating you, your odds are about zero. So you really got to pick
I consider buying Google at $800 a risk, and that's what passes, I guess, today for a blue chip in the new economy.
Right. But so is buying Newmont at 20 billion market cap when they're producing 2 billion a year profit. Is that a risk? You know, I think our market, as far as the majors go, is probably bottomed. There's a lot of downdraft come from the mismanagement of some of the majors. But I think you'll start to see some major acquisitions in those majors. I mean, you will somebody take a run at Newmont in the next few months? It wouldn't surprise me.
You know, Simon, I think you bring up a really interesting point here. I think the thing that I would like our listeners to realize is that regardless of the particular stage of the cycle that we're in the resource sector right now, this has become a very, very sophisticated area of investment. It's a horse of a different color. You guys, I'm sure you'd have to agree with this. Back when we all got started in the early 80s in this business, in some cases even longer than that, the industry has gotten so much more sophisticated. It is really, really interesting. And I would just like to leave you folks with one thought, and that is, number one, you just heard it from two of the best in the business in terms of Brett Cook and Simon Ridgway. But number two, stay informed. Read newsletters like Exploration Insights, etc. Only way you can keep from really taking a risk is to stay informed. We're going to be right back with the next hour of the Weekend Edition.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
My name is Stephen Hewer. After 22 years of nutritional counseling, I've observed that most brain malfunctions have at their roots some form of toxicity and brain damage. So whether it is poor memory, poor focus, lack of creative thinking, or more serious matters like inability to focus, speak normally, or remember things, the emphasis to getting one's brain working optimally needs to be on detoxification. One World Way supports your body's number one means of detoxification, which is glutathione production.
My name is Angie, and my son has suffered from borderline autism and constipation. I got him on One World Way, and in 2 months, his constipation is gone. He's become friendlier. He can carry on a normal conversation with me, and he has made his first friend. He's doing great, and he looks forward to taking One World Way every day. You could offer him a present or a cake, and he would prefer the One World Way.
Go to oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.